Carney, and go green.
Go green.
That sounded pretty good. Let's do it again. Go green.
Go
right. All right. Part of my remarks here in the appendix, I'm not going to read to you. It's the playbook of the University of Nebraska. Dr. Simon, I'll just give it to you. And it's like everything else, it's top secret, so I'm making it public. But I don't think I got a glimpse of Spartan Stadium. My staff and I were testing my time in the 40. I still have some eligibility left for Kansas State, and I got it down to 40 seconds this morning. But at any rate, thank you so much for bringing the committee to Michigan. This is a tradition of the Senate Ag Committee to go out and have field hearings, and you always get a different perspective than when you have people come into Washington and read their prepared statement, and if you dare ask them to get away from that, they get a little nervous. But not when you come to Michigan or Kansas, I can assure you. So it's a good thing. Dr. Simon, thank you so much for hosting this this morning. And as I indicated, I don't think that Nebraska will walk onto your field until 2012, but when they do, rest assured, everybody in Kansas will be shouting Go Green as well. Madam Chairwoman, is it appropriate that our first Farm Bill hearing takes place at a research institution, and as you've indicated, the first land-grant institution? And I've said before, we face a great challenge. We've been trying to indicate to those in the Congress and anybody that will listen, and we had a hearing last week that really concentrated on that, about American agriculture and the global economy, but even more than that, our national security and what agriculture can do as a tool for peace. Our population is now about 6 billion, I'm talking about our, the world. It's going to go to about 9.3 in the next several decades. That is an awful lot of folks to feed. And we're not going to be able to do that unless we have the appropriate research base to give us the technology to enable us to do that. And why on earth would anybody in the Congress of the United States, or for that matter, any one of our numerous critics of production agriculture, why would they pass, or why would they enact spending cuts that would tear at the base of that effort, or for that matter, tax policy, or for that matter, regulatory overkill, which is one of the things that we want to touch on as of today. And the chairwoman is going to hold a hearing with EPA, or what Chuck Grassley from Iowa says, the End of Production Agriculture Agency. But maybe it's not that severe or not. But at any rate, emerging economies are demanding higher value proteins, grains, and specialty crops. So those prospects are out there. We have to take advantage of that. We must be very aggressive. I'm very sad to see that the three trade pacts that we thought that we could pass on a fast track and that have been delayed years are now again in the midst of a political debate, but we will persevere, and I hope that we can get that done. The key factor in doing all this is technology that starts at universities like Michigan State, Kansas State, the home of the ever-optimistic and fighting Wildcats, and other institutions where agriculture research is a priority. And I really want to thank our producers and our witnesses on the second and third panels for joining us today. The three here, we're not allowed to ask them questions. They're at a higher level. But at any rate, it takes time, to come here and to testify, to take time out of your valuable schedule, and so I really appreciate it, and I know the chairwoman does as well. It's your perspectives on current agriculture programs and the direction of this next Farm Bill that are critical to the committee's work in drafting policies that provide producers in rural America with the tools necessary for success. And some folks question the need for a Farm Bill. With commodity prices where they are today, I don't have to tell you that prices can fall much more quickly than they rise. we've been through this before, and people don't seem to realize the cost inputs and everything else that goes into this. Worst thing that can happen is happening out in Kansas, and more especially in the southwest part. We're very dry. I wish you'd send some of this rain back if you possibly could. But here we are with a farmer with, now this is going to sound to you like a big farmer, but out in our country it's not, you know, particularly that big, maybe 10,000 acres. He had a pretty good crop there, but bang, we get end up with a hailstorm, and then bang, we get into a drought, one of the worst since the 30s. And we have wheat at over $8, which is just incredible. And there he is, stuck with no crop. And so that indicates the tremendous value of crop insurance. The chairwoman and I share that very strong feeling. So it's a paradox of enormous irony that when we have high prices and everybody thinks everything's fine in agriculture, that's fine except if you lose a crop. So we both believe that without an adequate safety net, many producers will struggle to secure their operating loans and lines of credit to cover input and equipment costs, always rising. We need those producers to stay in business if we're going to meet this global challenge. Now, folks, this is not only a challenge for us, it's a moral issue. We started this with Food for Peace and the Eisenhower administration. And if we're going to feed a troubled and hungry world and be able to do that, we must have the base from which we can operate. It's a national security issue. Show me a country that cannot sustain itself in regards to its food supply. I will show you a country that's wavering and having problems and probably getting into a little bit of terrorism. So it's a national security issue as well. Unfortunately, our farm programs are not the only policies that affect production. I'm looking forward to hearing from today's witnesses about the impact of federal regulations on their operations. The cost of regulations on an annual basis to America today with existing regulations and some that are now pouring out like a Katrina, it seems to be, in all phases of our economy, is now over $1 trillion. That's incredible. Surely we can do a better job on a cost-benefit basis, and we hope to get your input. Our Kansas producers continue to tell me that federal elections from outside of the department pose just as great a threat to their ability to feed a troubled and hungry world as anything else. At a time when the future of agriculture production so heavily impacts our national security, why would we do anything from the federal government standpoint to hinder their efforts? Madam Chairwoman, you have convened a diverse panel representing a wide range of issues under our committee's jurisdiction. I look forward to hearing their testimony, tasting the fruits of their labors, Bing Sherry's, while we're here in Michigan. Thank you so much. Thank you all for taking your time to come out. This is a wonderful group. It's a wonderful audience, wonderful turnout. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Senator Roberts. Thank you very much.